Four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the BD Waterfowl Podcast. I am your lead producer and host, Walker Deering, along with some good buddies of mine, Brian Butler.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Mr. Grant Mims.
We went golfing today.
Hence the four.
In case you've wondered why.
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well.
It was a little cool.
Me and Dad went golfing.
Yeah, Grant and Greg went and golfed.
Well, I'm not sure what Walker was doing.
I don't know. I didn't finish probably 10 holes. I don't know.
He really quit after about 7.
Oh, okay.
He'd get up there and hit a couple. He'd get up there and hit drives.
You made it 6 farther than the first time I ever went golfing and the last time.
Well, we were talking. I don't know how we got on this subject yesterday. Anyway, we'll get to that here in just a second. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody.
I still think I could hit the ball farther than you after watching that video on Facebook.
Yesterday?
Yeah, when you were driving on the top golf.
Killing it.
I would wear you out.
We'll go.
Or the club.
I mean, that's what. Yeah, exactly. I told Whitney that story yesterday. You ever heard that story?
I guess not.
Okay,
his bachelor party?
Yeah, bachelor party, right? And we went golfing over at Wild Turkey Trace there in Lawrenceburg.
Yep.
And... Were we on the first hole, or were we on the driving range? We were on the driving range.
I had been using some loners.
Yep. And
you were like, now here, try a real driver.
And it was. I mean, granted, it was an older Titleist. I mean, this dad gave it to me when I was younger.
Still sentimental enough.
And I think it was the first shot with it, wasn't it?
First or second.
Broke the head off of it.
I snapped it. The head went farther than the ball did.
Oh, you gotta love that.
It was, it was interesting. No,
we hadn't even done the first hole. Greg was like, you can use mine.
That's bold.
Yeah. It was funny.
I mean, what else is a guy gonna do? He didn't have anything at that point.
Hit a hybrid.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Sorry, we got kids upstairs. There ain't no telling.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Glad to be here. Glad to have you back. Finally.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Where were
I feel
you?
Like a special
you were.
Guest.
That's right. You were in Ohio. Did you like my little pun?
Yeah.
That didn't sound very convincing.
Yeah. It's okay. I accept all that I'm given. But no, we had a good time. It was a good trip. Really, I just needed the days off.
Yeah.
That was the enjoyable part. Just 4 days off and not doing a whole lot.
What,
but.
How was it up there? I mean, I know it was cool down here. And we're talking, for those of y'all don't know, we're talking about the,
Solar eclipse.
Total eclipse. How was it up? I mean,
so, pretty deep. We were in total eclipse for almost 4 minutes. I mean, it was like 3 minutes, 50 seconds or something like that. And, you know, I gotta say, it was really cool. It was different. Because going through that one back in like 2017,
yeah,
it was a partial as well down here. But we didn't travel up there for that. We traveled because we have family up there, but we stayed. I did take 2 days off to appreciate it, enjoy it. But no, I mean, it was a cool learning experience for the kids because where we homeschool, it was an opportunity to educate them on what was going on and that this does not happen every day. Nope. But no, it was cool. It was amazing because for Northern Ohio, where we were at, the temperature for that day was 72 degrees, and it dropped. It felt like 10 degrees.
Oh yeah,
during the total eclipse. I mean, it was like it was chilly. Like that breeze picked up, and it was just chilly. And so that was. Really cool and interesting, but no, we had a good time. Anna is 100% riding a bicycle now.
Yeah,
she accomplished that weekend, and we took I don't know how many 15 or 20 bicycle rides for 20 minutes, 30 minutes at a time. So that was fun, and now the kids want Tiff and I to get bicycles. So I guess I'm gonna get a bike. I don't know.
Just get four wheelers. Be done with it.
You gonna hit Facebook Marketplace?
I don't know. Tiff and I have already looked at a couple up at Academy Sports, but that she's found that she likes and I like. But I don't know. We've got a convention coming up that we're going to Pigeon Forge for here in a few weeks. And
so, what for? What is it?
Teach Them Diligently conference.
Okay.
So it's just that. It's a homeschooling conference that Tiffany found. Her and her grandmother were going to go. and her grandmother decided to stay back and be with the kids. And so Tiffany and I are going to use it as a couple day getaway. So it's on a Thursday, Friday. And
good old Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, yeah. And funny enough, it kind of ruined our weekend in an aspect. We were going for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but then they rescheduled Anna's ballet recital to that weekend. So she's got three performances that Saturday and Sunday. Wow. That we have to be back at 9 a.m. for. So we're leaving. We're leaving Saturday morning at like 5 a.m. to drive six, straight to where she has to be at West Jasmine.
Yeah,
and do the performance. So, and Tiffany has to volunteer at two of those. Okay. I don't have to see it until Sunday, right. But I got a coach on Saturday, so yeah. It's okay. But no, yeah.
You got baseball going on right now.
Baseball, yeah. Yep. Playing baseball.
Have a lot of your all's practices been rained out too?
Yep. And both our first games have. So. Yep.
Really?
Yeah, we haven't played our first game yet. We're 0-2 on weather.
Yeah.
At some point you just got to realize the field's going to be wet. Go play on it and fix it later. But they're trying to start the season off really particular. And if the field has any type of moisture to it, they're like, "Nah, we're not playing today."
They cancel everything.
It's not fun, but you got to get out there and play.
I agree.
You keep putting it off, and we're going to be playing ball in middle of June.
We had late June. One, two. We were supposed to have four practices by now, and we've had one.
Yeah.
Of softball.
We've had three with Waylon, but one of those was at the batting cages because
it was raining.
Yeah, couldn't do it at the field. So.
Good. I'm glad. I mean, it was cool. The eclipse. It was cool down here. We used welding helmets. And just looked up. You know, it got some cool pictures, and I mean. It was neat, and it was crazy. We had the house across the street has roosters.
Mm-hmm.
They were going crazy.
Were they?
I mean, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was bizarre for sure. Did you get to see it, Walker?
Yeah,
were you at work,
sorta?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could sorta see it.
Yeah.
Our cloud cover was pretty good, so.
Yeah, we had hit and miss.
See, it was sunny skies and clear for us. It was really good. So, interesting fact on that I'll hit on real fast. So, some family, distant family and friends came up to the
He's
lake.
Tired.
Golly, apparently.
One guy traveled, when he lived down in California, traveled to Oregon for the last total eclipse in 17. But he has a special camera that, like, he can sync with the rotation of the Earth at midnight.
Yeah.
And it will follow where the sun and everything for that day is going to be at. So he would get there the day before and set it up at night. But this thing, he had it set up, and I couldn't tell you how many thousands of dollars his setup was with all of his cameras and his telescope and whatnot. But he took a lot of pictures with that. He had solar binoculars, so we were using binoculars.
Really?
Looking at the sun like eclipse glasses.
Yeah.
That was cool. But he had a buddy that does the same thing that he does that went to Texas. Didn't see it at all. The cloud cover was so thick in the storms and stuff that this guy traveled from southern Florida to Texas for nothing. So that sucked. But
I can tell you one thing. I know what you haven't been doing. That's working hard.
No. In fact, I cleaned my office this week and put a new desk together. So
I tell you, whatever. It is freaking slow in the electrical world. That's for damn sure.
Rate case can't happen for another couple of years, man. We're cutting pennies.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
So we're making every dollar spread as far as it can.
Yeah, yeah. Walker?
Yes, sir.
Besides a fantastic game of golf.
It was phenomenal.
What else you been doing?
Much.
God almighty.
Sounds like I have a wrestling match up here.
Yeah, we're going to take care of this.
Put them outside.
What you been doing?
Just working, dude. I mean, we've actually had stuff to do, which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about that.
Feels like I haven't worked in a while.
That's why you're so tired.
That's what it's got to be.
You've actually been working.
I've been actually doing stuff instead of playing games on my phone.
Jesus, I love T-Pack.
God.
But it says being a Dolly Parton fan has its has its issues.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad we decided not to interview your son on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been actually kind of busy at work, huh?
Yeah. That's taking up most of my time.
Yeah. How's the van?
It's there. I got to help Dad fix his tractor before I do anything.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll get on that quicker than the van.
It's more important.
Yeah.
starting to get a little tall out there.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know. I didn't know there was anything wrong with it, to be honest with you, until he said something about it. And he said it'll start, and then it'll surge real bad.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Surge.
Hey, what do you mean by surge?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't.
Hmm.
I don't know what he meant by it.
Is it diesel?
Of course.
Yeah.
Could be an injection pump.
That was my thought.
That'd be a pricey couple grand.
Yeah.
It's not Dad's tractor. It doesn't matter.
It's a Lamborghini tractor. Damn, man. Yeah. Well, I hope that y'all get that fixed.
Yep. I gotta put an AC condenser on my truck.
Two to go? Sorry. We got the race to Talladega going, guys. And it is side by side.
With all the heat, Larson's in 14th.
Shoot, I don't know. I'm going to have a heart attack because Martin's in like 4th, 5th. I mean, that's crazy. God love him. Anyway,
you, Mr. Mims.
Buddy, let me tell you what. My life right now, and it looks like at least for another month, I do not have a night off during the week. Thankfully, with rain, we've had a couple nights off, but let me tell you what's going on. Monday night, right now, is Natalie archery practice. Tuesday night is AF softball practice. Wednesday night is Natalie's archery practice. Thursday night is Lacey gymnastics. Friday night is Everly's softball practice. Every single night of the week, okay? I mean, it is... You know, like I said, you know, luckily we've had a couple nights off. You know, it rained this past week or whatever. Is this the final lap? Holy crap, it is. But, I mean, it's literally every single night. And what the hell happens to the top lane? But, I mean, and, you know, I'm still trying to, you know, I'm still hauling hay. Heck, I had to haul a load of hay.
Thursday.
Get through there, Martin.
Bye, McDowell.
Michael McDowell's
mad. Who won that?
The first car right there.
Who is that right there?
Tyler
Reddick. Okay. Yeah. And, of course, Martin got caught in it. Oh, me. Boy, Brad, I almost had that one. Poor Brad. Anyway. All right. Sorry, guys. Y'all wanted a live update of the Aaron's 499 or whatever this is. But, yeah, I mean, it's... I had to, let's see, like Wednesday, was it Wednesday? What day?
Thursday.
Had to go to Walden, pick up a load of hay, take it to Wilmore. You know, and.
Walton, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not really, it actually was only about 5 minutes off the interstate, so it wasn't too, you know, too bad. You know, but yeah, it's just been like every single night. And actually, no, we didn't have a night off because Everly's softball practice got canceled Friday night, but Natalie had an archery tournament in Berea. So, no, yeah, didn't even have a night off.
Seen she shot her first 50. Yeah,
shot a 50, and actually shot her best overall score to date. She shot a 268 total out of 300. She's doing really good with that. And, has come a long way in just November, so 5 months, 6 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing really good with that, and but yeah, man, just staying busy with kids, especially right now, and then trying to kill a turkey.
Yeah, that's a struggle.
Big shout out to everybody that says sent in pictures for us to post. Y'all have been making us look bad. But congrats to everybody that's killed some so far, because at least I believe in me and Brian's book, it's been pretty pretty tough, pretty humbling. I know you haven't been, right?
Nope.
Walker? All right. I have not. I have yet to kill a turkey, and I know you haven't killed one either.
We'll be back out this coming weekend.
I spent 14 hours opening weekend trying to kill a turkey. Nope.
Yeah.
You know, and
watched the same Tom out of range for 3.5 hours before it left. Man,
that's and he just hung out there. Yeah. I mean, that's.
Yeah,
it's when you gotta break the fan out and start creeping.
120 to 160 yards out. My problem was this is not a traditional property we hunt, so therefore we were in a ground blind, and it's a little bit older. I mean, I've had it for 10 years, but the zippers on it are stupid, ridiculous.
Like, well, you gotta touch a knife and cut you out of the hole. If it's that old, I mean, come on,
you,
man.
Make you a new one.
It's still usable.
No, oh, man, just go to Cabela's and be like me and spend $200 on one.
But I think I paid like $160 or close to $200 for it when I bought it the first time.
I think they're worth it.
So, oh, yeah.
I mean, that thing, I can put it together in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you can fit four people in it. We've had fun. We had fun that weekend, though. I took all three of the girls out with us. I guess really just Saturday. Sunday, Ev was the only one who wanted to go.
Let's think about it. We got
something funny, Walker?
My brother.
Oh. Oh, does he want us to talk about his question?
No.
Thanks, Wes.
Oh, I don't remember what.
I mean,
something about cockfighting.
Yeah. No, he called me right when we started, and I declined it. And said, what's up? And he said, I died for your country, and this is how I'm treated.
Nobody thinks about our veterans.
And then he said, how'd you shoot?
Not good.
I'm just going to respond, I didn't.
What you got? What'd you say, Brian?
I was gonna say, I mean, we've got numerous birds that have been sent in to us.
Yeah,
quite a few.
Yeah,
like and I mean, some real good Central Kentucky, couple Northern Kentucky buttes. So looks like has had a really good, successful season thus far.
Two more weekends.
Yeah,
and then turkey season will be over.
Oh no,
I'm bummed about it, man. I want to, and the thing about it, and I'm sure I can speak for you as well, like, I mean, I went yesterday and I didn't do any good. Oh, let me tell you about this just real quick.
Go for
it. I went to a place up in Paris and got permission from a guy. I actually bought some hay off of him, and he's like, yeah, you can go back there. And he's like, you know, usually they stay across the creek, he said, but there's a little trail that down to the creek and across, and you can cross it. He's bring a pair of waders. Okay. And I get there, and, you know, first time ever going back there, I was really about 15 minutes later than I should have been. Gobbling like crazy. There's hens in, like, every other tree, and, you know, it's starting to get daylight, so I'm about halfway busted as it is, but... You know, and I'm walking back there, and it was like, what, 40, 41 degrees yesterday morning. I mean, cool, but not cold. And wearing waders, warm. Even, and I took my zipped insulation out, my Roger Sporting Good waders. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them. I mean, they're comfortable. I mean, I don't know how long I walked in them yesterday. But let me tell you, I walked across the creek, walked up the hill, you know, just trying to figure out, because I had one that was gobbling, but I could not figure out where in the crap he was. And I walked a lot yesterday. And, buddy, I was sweating my tail off by the time I got back to the car. I mean, just soaked. My jacket was soaked. My legs were soaked from sweat, not from, you know. I mean, it was rough. But, you know, I went yesterday, but I really wanted to, and hopefully it'll come to fruition this coming weekend. I really wanted to kill one with all the girls in there, and I'm sure you know you did with Waylon, mm-hmm. or even let Waylon shoot one.
Waylon was going to be the first yeah. shot.
So. You know, it's just, and it's kind of a bummer because, like I said yesterday, man, I had one, I had really had two that were gobbling for like 20 minutes straight. I mean, every 10 seconds. When I took the girls last weekend, we didn't see none. We didn't hear none. We didn't. Sunday morning, me and Ev saw a coyote. But, you know, it was just like, man, first time ever turkey hunting and you don't even see anything. But they had fun. But I think we're going to go down to the farm, Southern Kentucky, this weekend. And Dad said he had two yesterday hang up at about 70 yards and then they walked off, so he hadn't got one yet either. But he's been seeing quite a few down there, just can't figure out where to set up, so we're gonna sit in two different spots, and that's our plan for this coming weekend. But yeah, take your kids out there. I mean, they
I'll get right on it.
To the, our listeners, take your kids out there, because I mean they had fun.
Oh yeah.
You know,
is it a lot to keep an 8-year-old entertained for 8 or 9 hours? Yes, it is. In a blind?
Yeah.
But it's worth it, and they get to see something, a side of life that they don't get to see every day. Oh, yeah. So.
No, it was fun. So hopefully the next couple weekends, or I guess, well, no, if we have one next weekend, then we'll still have one weekend left. But yeah, y'all keep an eye out and
keep on it.
Them turkey woods. But Walker, what do we have on our agenda today?
We got all sorts of stuff, man.
All sorts of stuff.
All sorts.
Phew.
Just a whole bunch.
There's old MJ, Michael Jordan.
We got some listener topics.
Yes, listener questions.
We
since, do. There you go.
We sure do. That was being a real pain.
You got it, Walker?
Two more flags hanging up, and I won't have to see that Florida Gator one.
Uh-huh.
So we got, what, we got two questions on the old Facebook.
Yeah.
We didn't get any on Instagram, right?
No. Losers. Oh, there's a kid walking by the window. Yeah.
Yep, so we got two questions. We'll do our first one, which is from Cody Collins. And the basic rundown of the question is, what kind of setup should you really be using for farm ponds?
Yeah. Shout out, Cody. Appreciate it, brother. This is going to be, I mean, you all know as well as I do, you know, Kentucky farm ponds are probably going to be different than Nebraska or Oregon or
Canada.
Canada, yeah, I mean, setting up on a pothole or something like that. But I think the big thing with his question was that people are educating birds by, I guess from what he's seen or understood of other people, is apparently they're going out on a 1-acre farm pond and putting out 5 dozen decoys. Which
You don't do that.
No, it's unneat. When was the last time that either one of you all have seen 60 ducks on a pond around here?
Never.
Does Woodford County count?
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. Are we going like fountain ponds that nobody's touching?
Yeah, I tell you what. Actually, over here at Fountain View.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
okay. If we're going to count that, then.
Inside a subdivision. Yeah, you know, gosh. There's
the
all
last
kinds.
Time I saw a farm pond that livestock have access to in the county, anywhere in central Kentucky, I've never seen more than like 35 birds on it.
Yeah,
it's more than I've ever seen on one.
Yeah, no, I mean I've seen that a couple times. Georgetown gets a little hairy up there,
and I'm sure, but there is at some points. But first off, there's no need for it. Man, okay, I'm going to tell you all just around
half
here.
Half a dozen to a dozen.
Yeah.
Seals the deal all day long.
Around here, I mean, maybe if you're hunting a 10-acre small lake, I still don't even think you need 5 dozen.
No. At that point, maybe like 18.
Yeah.
Get you a large group and a tight group over to the side of the bank or something.
Maybe put four Canada floaters out there with them, too. You know, something like that. But
know your audience.
Well, and that's what that's what I was trying to get at. If you're going hunting, you've been scouting this pond, and there's been 8 mallards on it. Imitate that.
Put 6 or 8 out there.
Put a half a dozen and a jiggle butt. What was it? A butt squirter.
Butt squirter. Instead of a duck butt.
Yeah. Squirter. Put a jiggle butt, a duck butt, a butt squirter, whatever you want to talk, you know, for a little motion. Now, you know, we can get into something else. If the wind's blowing 15 miles an hour, well, no, there's really no sense for a duck butt out there. For a motion decoy.
You'll get enough motion off of a pond.
Exactly, yeah. The wind's going to be enough.
Right.
You know, so that's another kind of a little bit of rabbit hole, but go ahead.
You can put some full bodies on the shoreline, the bank, and then put some in. Right. I mean, and you can do that with Canada's too. You can mix that up with your decoys. So,
you know, imitate what you
see,
what you scout. Yeah, exactly. There's no sense in, I mean, you know, it might make you feel good. You're putting out 60 decoys, but I mean, you're exactly what Cody said. You know, you're educating them more than you are, because they're going to come back to that pond and, well, where'd these 60 come from? I don't know about that.
Yeah, let's think about that too. If I'm a bird flying, am I really want to go somewhere that's crowded?
No, especially like
if I'm in a group of 8 to 12 that are moving, and I look down and I see 60 on a not a really big body of water.
Right.
Let's think about that. That's crowded.
Yeah.
You want your own real estate. You don't want to already go into somebody else's party.
Yeah.
So.
Especially when you're already part of a party.
And make sure you're leaving some of those females, those ladies available.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then that's what I was going to say, too. Especially later in the season, you know, most of your mallards, most of your ducks in general are paired up. Well, if it's just me and my old lady, well, I don't want to go somewhere where there's 60 others of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't like you. I just want to go somewhere secluded. Like, perfect example. We got done at Topgolf yesterday, and we went to Texas Roadhouse in Louisville. And it was so dang gone loud in there, I couldn't hear myself think.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is just ridiculous. And then, you know, they're hooping and hollering for people's birthdays and this and that. And I'm just like,
I just want to be here and enjoy myself.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I'm eating a nice steak with the
fixings.
Amazing rolls with the butter. And I can't even. speaking on that.
Yeah. Did you, like, throw your diet out the window?
No.
You had rolls, though?
I wanted to get down to 190, and as of Thursday, I was at 187.8.
Dang.
So we had to eat those rolls to get to that 190.
Give me some.
So that was Thursday.
Yeah.
This morning I woke up, I was 190.6.
There you go.
I'm done with it.
220 the other day.
Okay.
Down from 264.
Yeah. So
that was, dude. That was pretty fire.
Yeah.
So, sorry, 254. Good gosh. I said 264, but 254. You want some 2X stuff?
Yes, sir. I'll take it.
I'll have to go through some stuff. No joke. But, I mean, I'm in clothes that I haven't been in 4 or 5 years.
Happy you didn't throw them away.
Right. I'm a pack rat when it comes to that clothes. I got clothes from high school for some reason. I don't know. Tiffany gets on me all the time. I'm like, babe, you're the same way. She goes, well, that's in the closet. Your stuff's in the drawers. I was like, well, whatever.
I don't know what that thing he's getting a picture of. No, great similarities in that.
Yeah, but just leave them room. Give them space and imitate, like Grant said. Just copy what you see, because that's what makes sense.
Right.
If the birds are doing it, it doesn't make sense to do it any other way.
Nope. I mean,
don't reinvent the wheel.
Exactly. Just keep it simple, especially on farm ponds. I mean, there's no I know.
And don't overcall them around here.
Yep.
My goodness. No. This ain't Arkansas. You ain't hitting them hard.
Right. 1,000%. And I know it might make you feel, you know, like I said, it might make you feel good putting out 60 and three mojos. And
you waste a lot of energy.
There's no need in it. And I mean, it might break your heart, but there's really no need in it. Let me ask you something, Walker.
Yes, sir.
When you killed your first goose this year, right?
Yep.
How many decoys did you throw out?
How many goose decoys?
How many decoys in general?
Zero goose decoys. Right. I put out 12 ducks.
12 ducks. Okay. All right. there you go. You know, I'm just trying to think of how many times. Gosh, man, I really didn't hunt up here this much this year.
On that little pond?
No, this is at my mom's.
Oh, well,
yeah. All right, 10-4. Lawrenceburg.
I was going to say, on that little pond, I probably would have put out like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But I'd have done a half dozen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe 6. You know, it depends upon the size of the body of water, but I don't care even if it's a 2 or 3 acre pond. A dozen's going to do it, guys. There's no sense in...
let's just say this. Grant, you and I have hunted together in Central Kentucky for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known you to take more than a dozen.
Yeah.
Ever.
Nope.
To any pond, to anywhere we go. I've never known you to take more than a half dozen Canada.
Yeah. I think 4. Yeah. Usually 4 floaters.
Yep. But overall, though, now... When we were out in the cornfield and we were set up for geese, that's different.
We can dive into that real quick. You know, ducks around here, I wouldn't use more than 12 floaters and maybe a couple full bodies. If you have seen them get up on the bank, and but I can't tell you last time I used full bodies around a pond. Ducks. Geese, on the other hand, you know, I mean, there could be...
We did those full-body geese on the side of Jerome's pond that day that we killed those geese and ducks, and that was pretty successful.
There can be, you know, ponds that have 60, 70 Canadas on them around here.
Oh, yeah.
At least.
Absolutely.
I've seen that. Yeah.
You saw 100 or so that time we were going to Tennessee. It was right before we got to Tennessee.
Refresh my memory. Where did we go? What did we go to Tennessee for?
We were hauling hay to that.
Oh, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yep, yep, yep. I've seen it plenty of times. You know, Canada's. Yeah, I mean, just set out what you've been seeing, and you know, if you have a bigger body of water, and you. You know, maybe set out a few more than what you've seen, you know, just to get their attention because, you know, of the black and the white, you know, from far away. That's another thing, too, man. Duck decoys are, you know, they're gray. They blend in with the water. I'm just thinking of Drake Mallard. You know, a hen might be a little bit different. You know, they blend in more. You know, a goose decoy is going to stick out.
Right.
You know, you can be able to see it from a lot farther. You know, Canada's, you know, maybe throw a little bit more of the kitchen sink at them. And we're still talking about farm ponds. You know, it really just depends upon where you're hunting. I mean, I've hunted a big 10-acre pond that, you know, there was 250 Canadas using it. And we probably had 24 floaters out and 6 or 7 dozen full bodies out. And we killed them pretty good. There's also been times, you know, you're hunting, you're scouting for ducks, and there's 10 Canadas on the pond as well. Take 4 floaters and 4 full bodies. Because geese, it seems to me, at least in my expert opinion. Y'all get a laugh out of that one.
Oh, God. Grant. How do you come up with this stuff?
At least in my expert opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you figured up all the hours you've duck hunted, you could possibly be halfway there.
It's probably, yeah.
They say 20,000 hours puts you at a
expert level.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm there yet.
20 years? 20 years?
Yeah.
You've been doing this?
22. Yeah. You think I spend 1,000
hours a year?
1,000 hours a year?
No.
I don't think. No. Even if you did, what's 6, we'll say 30. What's 6 times 30?
6 times 30?
180.
180?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's only about 180 hours. I'm thinking 6 hours a day at 30 days. Yeah, I got a ways to go. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You're like 2,000 hours in.
Yeah.
Woo! That's what Brian meant to say. 2,000 hours. Yeah. Not 20,000. What was he thinking?
Now, if we included all of his time dreaming about it, he'd surpass that.
Yeah, or just thinking about it.
Just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm telling you right now, Grant, if he ever sees a therapist, which I doubt he ever will, but if he does, he's hiring a professional therapist because of all of his bad hunts. Few and far between, but I know they haunt him.
Oh, they do.
It's a personal.
But, yeah, so it just... Even and this is the last thing we'll talk about this for. Thank you again, Cody. This is the last thing I'll say about it, at least. Just mimic what you see. If you're seeing 200, not many people have 200 decoys. Just gonna put that out there.
I still wouldn't put 200.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Maybe half, 70. Something.
Yeah.
If you see a dozen mallards on your pond, throw out maybe 6. That way, okay, well, where are the other 6 that are coming in with these 6 that are already here? We're commingling with this other group of 6. Mm-hmm. It's all about, scout what you see. I'm just going to throw off this subject real quick, but... we got a levee that runs out either side of out of the pit down in Arkansas. That's the last thing I'll say. I know I've already said that. There's a field, I think like right across the road from us, that has a levee running through the middle of the field. Last year, I think it was mallards and pintails were standing up on top of the levee, trying to go down into the other side. Well, we mimic that. So just mimic what you scout, and you have to scout. That's the key. That's another key thing. You have to scout, especially all these little dinky dunk farm ponds around Kentucky, because you might think they'll be on this one, and they're not going to be, and they'll be on some one that is completely surrounded by trees that you would never think that would ever hold a duck, but it's secluded. It might be out of the wind. I mean, there's a lot of things to that. So scout and take what you see scouting and apply that to your decoy spread.
I agree.
Yeah.
Do a good job. Yep.
In my very limited experience, thanks, I would Cody. Agree with that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you again, Cody. A great one.
I have a very quick question before we go to the next one. Do people like north of us hunt Canadas like we do ducks in Arkansas? Like, are there people that dedicated to it?
Oh, very.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious.
Very.
I'd like to go do that.
Yeah. Michigan.
Big up there.
Yeah. Michigan.
I could understand why.
Northern Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Ohio.
That's something I think I'd like to do.
Ohio's a pretty big.
All over the lake up there in Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I bet that would be fun.
I could probably find us a cornfield up there.
Michigan's fun. Or Michigan would they're be getting fun. Ready to have their Ohio first, would be fun.
Hey, they're getting ready to have their first hotel up there at the lake, so we'll have somewhere to stay if we wanted to do that.
Really? Like on the lake?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, okay. Like 2 minutes. Like, right across the water. Yeah. Not even 2 minutes. It's a 2-minute walk from, like, the hotel front to the edge of the water. But it's across from McDonald's and Dairy Queen and all that up there at the lake. And
so we got breakfast afterwards, too.
Yeah.
Woo!
Okay. But, yeah, no. Michigan, Northern Ohio, Wisconsin, New York.
They're all about killing some Canadas.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadas up there, little savage up at the lake, too. Like... they'll be in your yard. They're the ones that run after you. Like, they're not scared. They're like gang. Like, they're on you.
Hey,
and, do something loose.
They're all over the place.
Walker hit a drive today, and there was two Canadas down in the dip.
Yeah.
And he hit a drive, man. I mean, it was 3 yards from him. And
I wasn't going to get it.
Oh no! Hey, he was staying clear of these things. Damn, I said, right. Dude. I said, just. And I started walking up to him. Man, that one stuck his neck out. And I was like, oh boy, you know, he's gonna come after me. He never did.
But I'm telling you what, right now, I would throw hands with a goose. If,
I had a picture of my hands.
Yeah,
I'd throw hands. Boy,
you better back up.
Of course, the first thing I asked Walker was. Either of them banded?
No. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely throwing hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Officer, you should have seen this thing freaking attacked me.
Hey, this time of year, by God, they will. This time of year, they will. What else we got, Walker?
We got another question from Nate. I do not know how to say his last name.
Guys.
The guys, okay.
Yep. Appreciate it, Nate.
Yes, very much obliged, and
it's a simple Central Kentucky down home education public schools.
It's also we apologize. An extremely similar question to what we just answered. what kind of setup for cornfields are you looking at for Canadas? Well, this says honkers, but
A. I think it was. I think it his actual one was Canadas, but tomato tomato. Let's see. So Nate says. That I mentally struggle with setting a dry field Canada goose spread and getting them to finish within 20 yards. Get ducks 5 to 10 with a dry field spread, but struggle with geese. This is a. It seems like a very simple question, but I feel like it's.
Can I get on something real fast?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to jump on something. Yeah. My first off, I would take a step back and look at your blind.
Mm-hmm.
And look at your camo. Mm-hmm. How are you blended in? Are you sticking out like a sore thumb?
Yeah.
I would change my angles as I walk up to the blind and kind of see, because your decoy spread could be amazing.
Yep.
And something is flaring them.
But if just that little thing.
Yeah.
Or you know, three little things. You know, three.
It could be as much as you wearing sunglasses and it being visible.
Yep.
Like on a sunny morning and it spooking them. Like seeing a reflection, something. Something hitting them. But go ahead, Grant.
I'm sorry. Non-mirrored black sunglasses.
Well, so along with this question, it goes along with what you said about blinds. I feel like, at least in my opinion, that field hunting is ever-changing. Mm. Water hunting... there's not really a whole lot you can change. You know, you can add a new motion system of some sort, you know, like that. But I feel like field hunting is ever-changing. 20 years ago, you know, say 2000, 2005, 2000, maybe 10-ish, man, layout blinds were the thing. They were new. You know, nobody had layout blinds. You know, they didn't make layout blinds in the 80s and stuff like that. You had those big chairs with the Canada decoys over top of you.
I would love to do that just for the novelty.
Yes.
Of it. I think that'd be so cool.
Yes. So.
This is back before you could buy a layout blind for $130. Yeah,
right, exactly. layouts were the thing, and the thing at the same time with these layouts were full bodies. They were the new biggest thing. You know, everybody loved green headgear. You know, full bodies were the way to go. It didn't matter if you had to have a 12 by 6 or a 8 by 16 foot cargo trailer.
Just to get them there.
Exactly, just to get them to the field. Then once you got them to the field, if you couldn't drive in it, well, then you had to pack them. You know, so, but that was the thing, and it was successful. And then it seemed like 2010, maybe 2015, man, panel blinds came out. Mm. Oh, A-frames came out. Oh, that was the thing. You know, and about that time, silhouettes came back around. You know, back in the 80s, silhouettes were the thing. They were the next big thing. You could pack 12 dozen. Yep. One person could pack 12 dozen. Problem. But then, like I said, you know, 2000s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, you know, full bodies. Well, then, like I said, 2015-ish, maybe somewhere around there, panel blinds and silhouettes. That was the thing. And there's a lot of good companies out there that make them. I mean, Dive Bomb makes some great ones. Our friend Peyton Goble with Goble Outdoors, he's been talking to me. I've talked to him several times this past week about how he can make his even better. He's got a great price on his.
Absolutely, he does.
I think 12. I think a dozen for like $60. I mean, God, you can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I mean, you could pack 20 dozen into a field very easy.
By yourself.
Yes. Yeah. One person could, you know, set out 20 dozen very easy and could pack them out there very easy. But in my opinion, and I don't want to take up too much of the time, I think that there is a time and place for everything. I think that you can kill Canada's over. I think you can kill Canada's over full bodies. I think you can kill Canada's over silhouettes. I think you can kill Canada's in a layup blind. I think you can kill them in a panel blind.
I can also tell you for a fact you can kill Canada's over 8 mallards and 4 gadwall decoys.
Okay. Yeah. You know. But I. Right now, you know, right now the thing is, let's go flat. You know, everything's flat, everything's silhouette, and everything, I think, for the most part, is still panel blind. I think that is going away. I think layouts are...
It'll go back to layouts 100%.
Are you saying the trend with people or that the birds are done with panels?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. I thought that's what you
comes
meant.
Comes in cycles. They learn.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And they understand.
But this new generation of birds is like, what the hell's a layout blind?
And yep. And they don't know what they are.
But can I hit on one thing real fast?
No.
Guys, this is...
Not at all. This is just the Grant and Walker show. You're not in it.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Don't go out and... who is this? Nate Geis that asked this one? Okay, Nate... For you especially in this situation, don't go out and change 4 things right off the bat. Because if you change multiple things and try and bring them in and it works, that's great. But I don't know, the solutional side of me would want to know what was causing the issue. So if you can do 1 or 2 things different and try and single out that issue, so that you know going further, it could actually help you with your duck game too. You're getting ducks at 5 and 10, but you fix something and they're landing on you.
Yeah.
Or the
geese start working and the ducks don't.
That's true. But I would just say from a mechanical side, I'm thinking automotive repair side. If you're trying to diagnose something, you're not changing 8 things. You're changing 1 or 2.
Right, and seeing if that fixes it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could change 10 things and go in and guarantee that it's going to be fixed, but I won't know the actual, and I probably replaced something that was working when I replaced it. So, same with the hunting aspect. If I go in and change 4 or 5 different things, I could be axing a method that was working. So I would just do that. But
hey, don't listen to Brian. Change everything all at once. Get rid of everything you have. Buy all new stuff.
It's probably the camo. It's probably you've got honestly, ugly camo.
No, there's this company that makes these white hoodies that I've seen Grant wear.
Just go be white.
Yeah.
Final fight.
Only hunt in the snow.
Buy an artificial snowmaker.
Yeah, and then sit you out can in have field. One field that has snow all the time. And if you're using full bodies, throw them away. Get only silhouettes. If the silhouettes don't work, throw them away. Go buy more full bodies.
get fans, big ass fans. Okay, they're
if,
in Lexington.
If full bodies don't work,
blow shells. On silhouettes.
And the best way, the,
or
you know
socks.
What?
I mean, sorry,
we're giving him terrible advice. This is the only way to kill cannons. I've learned. I saw this the other
day. To do none of this?
From a professional. Yes, none of this at all. What you do is you get 5 Canada Goose shells.
Yeah.
And you cut them out so you can hide all of your limbs under it. So you're just laying and under these goose shells.
You become one with the geese.
And yeah, that's it. And these geese fly over and they're like, man, I don't know why.
Could you imagine
Jeff,
getting
Brian,
shot?
And Jimbo here are all in this weird line, but it's you.
Could you imagine having like a goose decoy above your gun by like 6 inches, like just somehow anchored on there? So like as you're shooting, that goose is getting yeeted by another goose.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to paint my gun to look like a Canada goose. It's already black, so I just got to put some white on it.
Put a little goose head down at the end of the barrel.
We've got it, man. You don't need to buy fancy stuff. Buy black guns, white spray paint, and you're ready to go.
Y'all ain't right.
But overall, though,
I told you I wanted to have more fun on this podcast, okay?
You've succeeded.
Overall, though, Nate, I would say my first take on it, though, would be set up like I have been. And then stand there and look at it. And or have somebody take pictures of you in your layout.
Mm-hmm. That's not a bad idea.
So that you can see. I'm going to be honest with you, Nate. I have an extremely white face. The guys give me a hard time about it.
Boy, does he.
Brian, keep that face undercover. I have a very breathable bottomland camo neck gaiter that helps me with that. Because straight up, if you're sitting there looking at camo and then all of a sudden you have this big white face staring at you with 2 shiny objects, it's going to spook them.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad.
So
I don't like it.
If you take somebody, though, Nate, out with you, have them take a picture of you, set up this summer, even before the hunt, just if you want to look at yourself and kind of put yourself in the setup in your front yard, just get in your layout blind and kind of look at yourself through some pictures.
And just on the cover part of it, make sure that everybody in your group's covered.
Could have decoys too close to them as well. Like, have a better opening, a better clearing for them to want to
make
come
sure
into.
There's a hole.
Yeah.
Hole. And if you're in, if you can, and it's, you know, and it's not too big of a deal, don't put your whatever blind you are using in the spread.
Mm.
You know, if you can move it, if the wind's blowing from the north, so the birds are going to be landing into the wind, landing into the north wind, so they're going to be coming from the south. Put your layouts on the west side of the spread. That way that you're not being focused on as much.
Right at their,
you know,
face.
Yes. You're going to be on their left side or right side, whatever.
Left side.
And they're not going to be, you know, looking at you. They're going to be looking at forward. Now, granted, I mean, they might look around, but they're, you know, they're going to be landing it into the north wind. So, you know, try that. Just try different things. It doesn't hurt. You know, if your first group flares at 40, try something different. Make, like Brian said, you know, make sure that your guys' faces are hid. That's what they make the mesh on the layout blinds for.
You need to be in there.
So you can look through it so that your face is hidden. You know, we had, I don't know if it was this year.
That freaking old man on our snow.
Was it? Was it this year? Okay.
Punch him in the face.
So, yeah, we had a guy that
violent, but gosh dang, keep your face up, dude.
His head was just like sticking out of the freaking blind,
dude. He just kept looking around.
Yeah, and it's like, and you know, granted, you know, Canada's not, don't, well, at least around here, don't fly in as big groups. But there's a group of 2,000 snow geese coming in, and there's 2,000 sets of eyes, and you're just got your white freaking face sticking out, huh?
Yep.
Well, and it only takes one of them to notice you.
Yeah.
You know, so pay attention to that. try different things. There's a time and a place for there's a time and a place for panel blinds. There's a time and a place for layout blinds. There's a time and place for silhouettes, time and place for full bodies. Can you mix full bodies and silhouettes? Yes. You just have to know where to place them. And, gosh, I mean, that's a whole other duck hole. There's a method to it, and I don't even know if I want to get into it right now. But
do it.
You have to place. You don't want them.
They can't see your hands, buddy.
I understand that. I'm moving my hands, people.
I'll start recording his hands.
Yes.
We'll post a video.
That's just what I just did. You don't want all of your silhouettes at the front of your spread and all of your full bodies at the back of the spread. It would be like a you mix them to a point. You don't want them. What's the word I'm thinking of? Blocked off from each other.
Segregated.
There it is. Yeah. Oh gosh.
A glare. I can't see. Who is that?
I think it was Ev.
Oh, okay.
They're waving outside to us now. But yeah. And if you have any questions, I mean, I know I said it earlier, but I mean, I'm no expert, but I will try and help every single person that would ever reach out to me because, you know, I don't think I know it all, but I can help when.
Well, we want to see the sport succeed.
Exactly. You know, I want everybody to be successful, and, you know, 10 years ago, well, maybe not. Maybe I wanted to be the only killer there was and everybody else sucked, but I hope this someone helps y'all out, and thank you, both Cody and Nate, for the questions. And if you got any more questions, don't be afraid to holler at us. Because like Brian said, just trying to grow the sport, make people better, successful. You know, it's like I've said before, one of my proudest moments this past duck season was Walker killed his first goose, and I wasn't there. I mean, made my heart so damn unhappy. Like, I was like,
yes. I'm hoping I can kill more geese this year while you're not here.
Yes.
I'd like to kill some with you, though.
I hope you do, too. I don't know what my trail cam keeps getting pictures of.
I told you it's field mice.
I mean, there's nothing there. But yeah, guys, hopefully this helps y'all out and, you don't think we're a bunch of dum-dums, but, yeah, that's about really all I've got.
I don't have anything too much on the Canadas cause I'm new to that.
Yeah. Well,
I like it a lot. I want to do it more.
well, hopefully we're going to have our opportunities.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping. We really hit it hard for a couple years. I mean, we went out and bought a bunch of Canada decoys. And honestly, I'm thinking about getting rid of them, getting silhouettes. Or I might just keep them and get more get silhouettes. Yeah. Because like I said, there's a time and place for each of them, and they can both be used together. But, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, just for the record, you don't recommend socks around here, do you? Canada socks?
No, I wouldn't. No, I would stick with silhouettes or full bodies. And there's a place and a time for shells, too. I mean, You know, if it's, what was it that day we went?
Cold.
It was like 20 degrees. Yeah, we were hunting a cornfield. Man, geese like to get down, and they like to cover up and bundle up in a tight little ball, and they like to tuck their heads underneath their wings. And a snow-covered cornfield is a great time to use shells. A pond that's three-quarters of the way frozen and only a quarter of it's open, great time to use shells on the ice. Or if you got an ice eater, keeping open, you know, some of it, mm-hmm. place those shells around the edges on the ice. There's time and place for it all. You know, I cannot sit here and just say, well, you know, this is the right spread to use for cornfield honkers. Yeah, it's just, it's very loaded. You know, sunshine, wind.
It's been known to piss a man off a time or two.
Very, very, very aggravating.
Oh, geez.
You know, we had a pretty good spread out there in that snow.
I feel cornfield. Like we had a phenomenal spread. Yeah.
But I feel like
sometimes when you're the most confident, it's the worst hunt.
At that time, I feel like we needed maybe just a few more. You know,
I never asked you what you thought we could have done better.
I feel like we could have used a few more decoys. Honestly,
and I thought we had quite a few.
Or just spread them out a little bit more.
A little wider.
You know, so that's and keep the decoy spread out. Canada's, you need to leave about at least 2 to 3 feet between each decoy, at least. You know, put a, depends upon the size of your spread, but put a family group, you know, off to the side somewhere. You know, somehow that, you know, I still might be together, you know, through all of early season and into late season. We need to, you know, maybe make a podcast episode just on honkers, because I feel like it's very loaded. Because you got early season honkers in September.
Late season.
Yeah, you got late season honkers in February. I mean, Canada's are very.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I think that would be great. It'd
be educational for me too.
Try something. Nate, try something. Look at your hide first. Hide is huge.
Huge.
And then go from there. Make sure you got plenty of spacing in between the decoys. You don't want them all. The only time you want them real tight is if it was really freaking cold and, you know, they're staying together for warmth. But I would at least leave 2 to 3 feet between each decoy. Hopefully this helped both of you all some, and maybe helped somebody out that was throwing out 60 duck decoys on an acre pond.
And we don't, and guys, don't take it as us being aggressive. If you were doing that, everybody's got to learn somehow.
Oh, yeah.
But this is our corrective criticism, and the fact that less is more around here.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And
on ducks. Especially.
And say I was that brand new hunter that was out by myself accessing a pond, and I thought I was throwing out 30 or 40 decoys because that's what was going to do it. And I happened to find out years later that 6 to 12 would have done it.
It would have been sufficient.
All that energy, all those extra mornings of putting those out and taking them back up, and the money and the resources put in, especially if you're only hunting farm ponds around here, there's no reason for you to have 60 decoys in your basement.
No. Not at all.
So
maybe 60 total between ducks and geese.
Maybe. But hopefully this helped you all out in some capacity.
He said no, and I said yeah at the same time.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What that guy didn't say.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no. No, yeah. Yeah, hopefully it helps y'all guys. And if y'all have any more questions, don't be afraid to reach out to us.
Post that ish.
Yeah.
Woo!
So, Walker.
So, I've got one more thing. We're going to try this again.
All right.
We're going to try another draft.
Thank
you, Bluegrass Basement Boys, for the idea. And thanks for letting me borrow it.
Yes.
Even though last one was quick.
Yeah, so
we're going to try to at least make this one kind of fun. So we're going to do a shotgun draft, boys.
Yes.
Who gets to draw first?
I'm going to let Brian go first.
Yep.
Because Grant went first on the other one.
Yes.
All right.
It's going to go Brian, Grant, me.
So three guns.
Yep, we're going to pick a total of three shotguns.
A piece.
Starting with Brian, snake draft style.
You know what we could do? We could do a 3.5-inch and a 3-inch chamber.
It doesn't matter.
You have to pick a 3-inch?
No? No. All right. All right.
Like
then we'll discuss.
But if I pick it, then you can't pick it.
Correct.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But we're going to do, I think we should do models. You can't just outright say.
No. I'll do a model. I got a model.
Yeah, do a model.
Okay. All right.
Well, but you're going to start us off.
SBE-3.
All right.
Benelli Super Black Eagle 3.
Okay.
12 gauge and bottom line camo.
Solid choice. 20
inch barrel.
And oh my god, that is so specific. I'm not writing any of that down.
Yeah, I'm not either.
All right, Grant.
No, you.
Brian, Grant, Walker.
Ooh.
Oh, so we're going this way.
That's what I've got wrote down.
You got, oh. You got a smacky round boy. You give him that attitude again.
Okay.
Sweet.
Benelli M2. Solid. Bottom line camo. 28 inch barrel.
Solid.
The wheels are spinning.
I already
have my
torn.
Next one picked.
Is anybody?
I hope I pick it over you.
I doubt it. It's not even on your brain.
Is anybody home up there?
If it's on your brain and it comes off right now, I'm going to lose
fried,
it.
Right, bro.
Flipping this mic right at Grant's face.
I can't say what I want to say because it's...
Do it.
No. I'm going to save it. I'm going to go Beretta A400.
Solid.
Oh, wait, I got one more. I forgot.
Yeah.
So snake draft starts. The snake starts with me.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go the M3500 Stoker.
So. Yeah. Okay. Now. Let's see. The M3500. So. They have the M3500, and then they have the M3500 snowplow, which is that solid white.
That's the Snow Goose one. So it's already got the extension tube.
Is that considered different?
It's different. It's a different model.
Different?
I could say the Benelli M3000
unless
because
you're
it's a different model.
As a clarification.
No, M3500 snowplow.
Oh, is this going back to you now?
Yes.
Now it's on me?
Yep.
But you're going to pick your last two right now.
Okay, Browning A5. I've always wanted to own one.
They are a good looking gun.
I'm right there with Joe, and the fact that they brought them back. Have you seen the sticker price on them though?
No,
$2,300.
Yeah,
they're up there. So, I'm drawing a blank. The
Home defense.
No. The Benelli Super Sport. Isn't that the carbon fiber one with the
16-inch barrel?
I mean, I'm pretty sure. Hold on.
Don't enter the house.
Now, see, here's the thing. Over on Bluegrass Basement Boys, you're not allowed to look anything up.
Oof.
You gotta do sure it off your head.
If it's called the Super Sport, then I'm right. If it's not, then I can't use it.
All right. I'll accept that. Grant can't look it up either. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Super Sport carbon fiber. It's an Ethos. Benelli Ethos.
Yeah. But it's an Ethos Super Sport.
Yeah, that's
the model.
Yep.
That's the one.
All right, you can use it.
All right.
Benelli Ethos.
Is that what you're going with?
Yep.
Ethos SS.
Now, that is not, for me, that would not be a field gun, but that would totally be like competition, have fun.
Competition clay.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'd have fun with that.
So.
Super light. Have you ever held one?
My turn.
I've held a couple. They're... So, like, carbon fiber stock and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that the recoil system on them is still not bad being that light. You're not getting pounded. So.
I mean, I can see it just because of how they work.
Mm-hmm.
My turn?
Yes, sir.
A Franchi, however the heck you want to pronounce it, Affinity.
I hate you.
Yes, you sir.
Do the Infinity, Walker.
You could do
the Infinity.
I
wanted to do the Affinity.
Well, sorry about you.
Oh, I know what I'm doing.
I stole your draft.
No, Winchester you SXP?
No, sir.
No.
Gerson, MC312.
Okay.
That gun has not let me down yet.
I'll bring a notebook next time so I feel official.
Yeah, I mean, Walker, he didn't bring it to the last one for some reason.
I forgot the bag.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so now we're going to discuss this. Who's got the best draft?
We can discuss it. I'm down for that.
Mm.
But how are we going to judge it on best? Do you want to go by best gun?
Do we
best
need to,
affordable?
Do we need to look up how many models sold? No, because then there's generational changes there. Yeah. That wouldn't be fair. That Browning A5 has been
around for,
been around yeah. for
you know 30 what? Years. Okay, what's really surprising, there's 9 guns there and not one Remington, like 870 or 1100 or nothing.
You know, I should have thought of a Mossberg.
I got to be honest, though, I'm not like the biggest Remington
fan. I'm not either. I've never owned one.
No.
I like them. I can't say I don't
Remington
like
rifles? Yes. Remington shotgun?
Remington 870 is a solid gun.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, indestructible.
Don't get me wrong.
500.
Not to mention, oh, wait, we took those to war.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't think of Mossberg.
Yeah.
We took the Remington 870s to war.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Is the Affinity is 3.5 inch, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to go with mine's the best. I've got a 3 inch. I've got a, what's the 3500? 3.5?
Mm-hmm.
But it's already got an extension tube on it. And then I've got a 3.5 inch gun, too, if I really wanted it. That's why I, ladies and gentlemen, think that I have the number one draft.
In the 2024 shotgun.
Draft.
I'd say I have the hands down most tried and true model semi-automatic.
This is a bad idea, trying to figure out who had the
Remington 870.
Because we're all going to guess.
No.
Ourselves.
Browning A5.
Nah. I don't think that's most tried and true.
Well.
I don't know. I mean.
Hey, Brian, we didn't take the A5 to war.
That's yeah. True. Yeah. So, all right, he's done. No, just
all I'm saying is affordability and reliability.
See, I'm a rookie at this. I didn't even know what we were going after. All right,
affordability.
You got it neither.
At affordability, I would have gone for an M3000 because let me tell you, my old girl ain't let me down. And then.
Hey,
then we could have put up.
He's got a Gerson MC312 on there.
I would have put up my freaking Benelli Nova pump shotgun. That thing is a turkey gun, and I've killed plenty of ducks with that. So,
listen, they're all three great drafts.
They really are.
They are good drafts.
The MC312 is kind of a joke answer, but I swear to God, hey, it has been a phenomenal gun for me.
I can't wait to actually take Whalen's SKB H300
yeah.
and do some shooting with it. That gun, like, looking it over and actually, like, loading it and ejecting shells, like, we haven't got to shoot it yet, obviously. But, like, that's a clean gun.
Slick.
Like, yeah. The setup on it's not bad. Of course, I had never heard of them, so that was new. But the gun retails for, like, $850 or something like that, which is more than a Stoger.
And you just stole it from Barry.
Yeah.
No, Barry let me steal it. So, he was donating it back to the chapter, so...
That was good.
I still haven't paid him for it because I haven't seen him.
That's more what I was referring to, was you just haven't given Barry his money.
No, I mean, the cash is... He said, next time you see me,
right.
I brought the cash in my pocket.
And he wasn't there.
And he was not there. So, Barry, if you're listening, the cash is on my dresser. So, the next time I see you, you got it.
That's... Yeah. Yeah,
I'm a man of my word.
Yeah, he was supposed to bring it to a meeting, wasn't he? And...
I was bringing the cash to the meeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To give to him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to come. I sent him that text joking. I never got anything back, so I hope he knows I was joking.
He's not in that group chat. He's in a different group.
Oh, gosh, dang.
Hilarious.
Just wanted to add a kind of a somber note. We had a great person that was on our committee for, I don't know if it was when it first started or not, but Richard Fowler passed away since our last podcast episode, and just wanted to let his family know that it's been our thoughts and prayers. He had a lot of complications the past past couple of years, and yeah, I just wanted to let his family know that been thinking about them, and
for sure, he's
in a better place now.
Absolutely,
killing limits every single day.
There are no limits in heaven.
Oh, that would be awesome. So yeah. That was fun. I like that draft.
Draft was good.
Yeah, I feel like the duck one would have been good if we know, like if I picked.
It was so last minute for me. Yeah. I didn't think to.
Next draft is, waiters, field bag.
What if you just do waiters?
We need to do just one.
Yeah.
No. You outfit yourself for field.
Okay, a pair of waiters, a blind bag, and.
Gun case.
We'll talk about it.
A gun case. Yeah.
Maybe. We'll maybe. See. We'll
talk about it. Ammo. Yeah, we got.
I could do anything. Down on an ammo draft. Yeah,
we could do an ammo.
Although one. I have only experience with one, so.
We'll do maybe an ammunition.
The Nigras.
I'm kidding. Yeah,
those Nigras. Things.
Yeah.
To see how dirty they were on the inside of Brian's shells.
Yeah.
In Arkansas, I was kind of surprised that there was unburnt gunpowder in there. Like. What in the world?
Have you
ever had that out of Winchester Super X's?
So, Walker, you want to go golfing again, buddy?
Yeah, of course.
You can be a spectator again.
Yeah, paid my money just to ride around.
Yeah.
Basically.
Man, golfing is getting expensive.
Brother, what ain't?
$45 for 18 holes at Brightleaf.
Hey. At
Brightleaf.
My truck was on a third of a tank. $99.86 today to fill it up.
My truck was on a half, $40 yesterday to fill it.
Yeah. My truck was on just under a quarter of a tank.
His is diesel, by the way.
$110.
Yeah. It's the times are
oh man, dumb. It's stupid.
So the motorcycle's for sale, by the way. Anybody listening to this?
Your bike?
Yes, my Harley Softail, my 2005 Harley Softail Standard. That's not so standard. I have a lot done to it. But it's for sale, 27,000 miles. It's got a new transmission in the last few years, clutch. Crankcase has been fully replaced by a Wildcat Harley in my time of owning it in 7 or 8 years, however long, 9 years almost now. But, yeah, $9,000. Hit me up. It's going to be on Marketplace. But when it's gone.
It's gone.
Yep. I just can't see it rot anymore. Like, it's not physically rotting, but last year I put like 200 miles on it.
That didn't help itself.
And I hate seeing it sit in the garage. That bike
used sitting to get outside rode a the lot. Weather.
No, it's never
rusting away.
It's never been in the weather, Grant. Shut your mouth. Besides ridden in the rain, she's no trailer queen, but she cleans up well and she's always garage kept.
Fantastic. Thank Named you for Monica. Selling stuff.
Hey.
If I get rid of one hobby to increase other hobbies, we're doing good.
You know how many silhouettes you can buy with $9,000?
Dang God right.
You wouldn't need to get cover. You could just cover.
Hey, new Browning A5 is $2,200.
Yeah, that's what you're leaning towards, huh?
No.
All right.
But although, if I had one before Joe, I think Joe would be a little upset.
I like a little 16-gauge.
Can we have him back on as a guest soon?
Yeah.
Can we, like, twist his arm?
Yeah,
we need to twist his arm.
Don't you dare twist that arm.
Ooh, don't do that.
Did he have surgery on it yet?
I don't think so.
I thought he did.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't talk to him, really. We need to have him on. Hell, we can have him on Skype. He can just Skype us while he's at work.
There you go.
He's off work.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, shit, never mind.
Four to 6 months.
Yeah. Gosh, dang.
He's not going to want to go back to work.
Yeah, no. Yeah, thank you, Cody and Nate, again. I appreciate
much
that.
Obliged.
Congrats to all the turkey hunters out there.
Absolutely, and good luck to all the ones.
And good luck
this
yep.
week and weekend.
Yep, yeah. Good luck to those that have not it's yet, but get out there and put in the effort.
Starting to dwindle down. It's yep. It's half over. I mean, so another couple weeks, it'll be gone again.
Absolutely. Yep.
Then what's next? Dove season, I guess.
Dove season.
Yes. Thank God.
And then early wood duck till season.
Yeah, yeah.
And then deer season. I'm going to try it.
I don't know
if I'm going to have a bow set up in time, but I would like to start bow hunting. I don't know. I'm digging way more into my
overall sportsman's.
Well, you are becoming a solar watcher, so nothing surprises me about you anymore. Like, that's all I all I have down for what we've been up to is B, solar watcher. All right, guys, thank y'all very much for everything you all do. Thank y'all for all the listens. Yep. What we got over here, Walker?
Thank y'all for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We are BD Waterfowl Podcast on Facebook, the BD Waterfowl Pod on Instagram. And if you're listening to this, you know where we're at to hear us. But make sure you like and subscribe and share the podcast with your friends from all your favorite listening platforms. And I believe that'll do it from us here at the BD Waterfowl Podcast.
Woo!
See y'all in the next one.